Howdy, howdy, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 391. Hard but essential. I could add boring in there, but yeah, no, we'll just keep it that way. How you folks doing? Hey, today is, that's right, April Fools. Yeah, my juvenile mind went many places of things I could do with this podcast, being it is April 1st, but I decided not to go there. Those people who travel with me on my adventures, they know there's two things I take seriously, photography and food. After that, anything's fair game. And since the podcast is about photography, well, I'm going to keep it on the, let's say, not the April Fool's side of things. So, welcome, welcome. Thanks for spending some time with me on this day. Hope you've had a great week. All is well here in Montana. Spring is, he doesn't know what to do. It's been spinning snow and rain. The birds are quite active. We've got most of our spring migrants have reappeared, which is fun. We haven't got a hummingbird yet. I've actually got out that new hummingbird feeder that has a built-in camera and AI sensing. And it's picked up a lot of birds, but not hummers. So fingers crossed it's soon. Hey, I want to thank my good friends at Bedford Camera, bedfords.com. You know, they've got a lot going on. They've got the Photo Expo going on in May in Little Rock. It's a great event. I've spoken there before. And it's a marvelous, marvelous venue. And they've got all sorts of great presentations during the day. They've got workshops. They've got all the major manufacturers and vendors are there. It's just, hey, you want a really great experience, head to Photo Expo. And of course, they're going to have expo pricing. And guess what? You mention my name and you're going to see an extra 5% off that expo special price. Or if you go to any one of their stores, or call them on the phone, or head to the website, you're going to also get that special pricing. And hey, let me tell you, that's real cash in your pocket. You might need some things for the solar eclipse that's coming up here in, what, 10 days, 2 weeks? They've got it all there for you. They've got the service, they got the inventory, they got the pricing, they got the Moose discount. Bedford's Camera. Remember to thank them for sponsoring the Moose Podcast. A couple of things that have come up this week. One I want to talk about. Folks, I posted a opening in our Monument Valley adventure, which comes up at the end of the year here, which has, at this point, has been filled. And a number of people say, hey, I never saw that on your workshop page. Well, here's the deal, folks. Just so you know, we offer a lot of workshops. And some of them are a special workshops in the fact that, they require some skills, point blank. They're not just for someone who just bought a camera. And so I sent out special invites to these groups who have been on workshops previously with us. And they never actually, those workshops never hit the website. So that Monument Valley, the reason why you did not see it posted before, it's one of those special invites that went out, and I had an opening. So if you want to get on that, you could say the special invite list. You have to go on a workshop or two with us, and we have to know you've got some skills to go with it. So not that guarantees that everything's going to work, because it's not always been as successful as the original, you know, intention. But basically, we're trying to get the most out of that photographic experience, both learning and the best photographs. So that's why we keep doing it the way we're doing it. Just so that answers a bunch of questions came up, why no one saw that Monument Valley posted till just now. All right. What else have I got? I guess that's about it. let's get right into this week's episode, Hard But Essential. Now, if you go back, way back, for me, you go way back, and when you had your probably, literally, your first writing lesson in school, kindergarten, first grade, way back then, the teacher brought out this box, shiny, smelt like wood shavings, and gave everybody their first brand new number two pencil. And before we could learn to write, first lesson, and I remember this because it always has intrigued me ever since, we had to learn how to properly hold the pencil. Yeah, something so rudimentary now that we don't probably even think about it, but we had to be taught how to hold that pencil. And if you look at people today when they're writing, and right off the bat, that's a challenge, is to see people actually writing, you'll notice that there are a lot of different ways that people hold a pencil and or pen, or a stylus, or an Apple pencil. Well, the same thing holds true for our camera gear. Before we can actually start making images and be challenged, knowing our camera gear, as in simply where things are, it's a hard thing to learn, but it is essential. And it's probably one of the more boring tasks, definitely not rewarding photographically. But I can tell you firsthand, watching people who have no bloody clue where the focusing ring is or how to, take a lens off its collar, how essential it is. And you would think that, and I always think this, people are so smart. And I know they're smart because they've earned the money to buy the camera gear. I mean, you got to give yourself credit. If you have got that expensive camera gear, you have put in your time and you have the gray matter in which to earn the money to buy that gear. So you are smart. Yet, when it comes to putting a camera in hand, they just go to mush. But it's really hard to learn this, cold-hearted bastards, I affectionately call them, but it is essential. Now, let me give you a simple example. In our age of mirrorless, lenses tend to have a number of rings on them. And back in the day of film, you had just one ring on a lens, and you rotated it, and it would focus. Well, now you have rings that can do everything from aperture. You can program it. You can program do it. On the Z9, you can program, on the Z600F4, you've got two sets of buttons and, three or four rings or collars that you can program. That's a lot to have to think about, learn, and be able to do without looking. And that's kind of the important caveat to all this. We need to make that camera seamlessly part of our photographic experience. We don't want it to be a roadblock. And I've seen photographers who, they smack up against that camera and they can't get any further. And you're missing the photograph of a lifetime because you don't know the basic controls, where they are and what they do. And understand that I'm not talking about mastering the different autofocus modes of the Z9 here. I'm not talking something really kind of that sophisticated. I'm talking about just knowing where the bloody focusing ring is on your lens. The Z400-45. It's got two. And one is really narrow. And it's got a star pattern to it. So texturally, you can feel a difference. And the focusing ring just has those parallel rubber ribs on it, but they're on the lens barrel. And if you want to focus, you can only turn the one, right? And you rotate it. So the first challenge that you need to learn is, which direction do you rotate it to get it to focus closer? And which way do you rotate it to focus further? Now, why would that be something you need to know? Because you're using autofocus. All right. Cards on the table. Autofocus doesn't work 100% of the time. It doesn't. If you're using eye detection, it's not actually looking for an iris and a pupil and eyelids and an eye. It's looking for that circular pattern. And the most common place in which it is, quote unquote, fooled, okay, which it's not. It's doing its job. It doesn't have the complete brain capacity we have. So if you're lying on the beach, and this is one of the, I want to take people down to do beach panning. The first thing I always warn them is those specular highlights of the water as the waves come and go. The camera likes to grab onto them. There are these beautiful round patterns, and just like, there it is, and it locks onto it. And your subject goes, and it's out of focus. So why do you need to know the focusing ring? Well, in that scenario, or let's say you're photographing hummingbirds, and those little dudes, man, they just, they're gone, they're buzzed. And the number of times I take a picture, and I swear to Pete, there was a hummingbird in that viewfinder when I went click, only to see that my picture is empty. There's nothing there. Boy, right? They're just fast as could be. And then if in the frustration of them gone, you hit the autofocus button again, it's going to go where? To find a pattern. Well, why would you need the focusing ring? Getting to the point. I have found that when the camera does this, beach panning, hummingbirds, whatever it is, if I focus the lens closer, not going to infinity, but going to its minimum focusing distance, and then hit my back button, AF on button, the camera then goes out to find the subject. And in that process, it locks back onto the subject very quickly. Now, if I go to infinity and then hit the AF on button, it's coming back to find the subject, just takes longer. And I want to lock on faster. Well, in order to get to that minimum focusing distance, I have to know where, one, that focusing collar is on the lens, and then two, which way to rotate it to get to that minimum focusing distance. And I know this sounds very elementary and just bloody obvious, but I have seen over and over and over again, folks fighting, very smart people fighting with their gear for the simple, hard fact that they haven't learned the essentials of some of their basic operations. What else can I talk about? Well, you have the shutter release button. That's that big button you push that makes the camera make all those pictures. Well, depending on your camera body, talking about the Z8 or Z9, for example, right now, Z6 II, you know, even the Z30, Z50, next to and between the shutter release button and yourself when the camera's up to your eye, there are three other little buttons. You've got one for ISO, you have one for exposure compensation, you have one that starts and stops the video. And with the Z9, Z8 and stuff, you can program those buttons to do other things other than ISO, exposure comp, start or stop video recording. I watch people and they're trying to dial in exposure compensation, and all of a sudden they hit their ISO, and then their ISO goes bonkers, and then they come back and they change their exposure compensation. And in the process, they hit their subcommand dial in the front, and they have that program, so maybe their aperture changes. And if you're shooting flash, well, you just lost it, let alone trying to keep the subject in the viewfinder. There's a bunch of buttons. Another really essential button, as far as I'm concerned, to make that camera body an essential part of you, the photographer. And then we're talking about you here. You have to be the one that's driving this boat, okay? There's the italicized I button. I as in me, the photographer, and those things that I need really fast. Now, all my settings for these cameras are on the website. updated just whatever a week, 2 weeks ago when the Z8 got its new firmware. So they're all there. And I'm not really talking about perfecting settings. We've done podcasts on settings. I'm talking about just getting to know your camera and what these, where these things are. These very, I mean, it's the number of times I've seen people holding their camera and things don't work and they get all frustrated. And I have to say, well, you have your vertical firing button turned on. And since you're touching that with the palm of your hand, the other things aren't working. So you either learn to keep your hand off that button or you lock the button so it doesn't mess everything up. And you know what I'm talking about. It's happened to me. It's happened to you. It's happened to our friends. You're in the heat of battle. You're shooting like crazy and something goes kablooey and your mind just goes, ah, rather than stepping back and solving the problems. And the only way you can do that is muscle memory. And it's hard, but it's essential. You have to learn that camera. And yes, after all these parables, and I have so many more, I've seen it all, and it boggles my mind because sometimes people are just bloody stubborn. They just, I've spent my $6,000. Why do I need to learn, right? $6,000 spent, it should do it for me. No. How do you do this? I'm not making this up. It's what I do. I have witnesses. I get in my comfortable chair, be it on the deck in the summertime, by the fireplace in wintertime. I have my favorite programming on, either music on the big screen, and in my lap is my camera. And all I'm doing is holding it, and without looking, I'm manipulating it, and I'll say into my head, I want to be at F8, and I'll click that subcommand dial, the number of clicks to get there with the lens I have on. Then I look. I go, yep, I got it. I want in exposure compensation. I want this. I want that. I want to minimum focus, and I do it, and I find it and rotate it without looking at the camera about it. Yeah, I just enjoy the entertainment that's in front of me, and I do it over and over again. Now, I understand that being someone who makes their finances with that camera, it makes sense to do this all over time. So I can talk to my client, have that camera ready to go, get it to my eye, get the shot, PDQ, capture that moment. But here's the thing. You folks, you work hard. You work hard 9 to 5, 40, 60 hours a week, and then your recreation is that photography. And it's not very recreational when you're frustrated, you're not getting the shots, and in that night you go back, you mumble that you missed the pictures, you went on this great trip, you went all this distance, and you come back with nothing. But let's be honest, it's on you. Even if you don't make a living your camera, you still have to know this hard but essential thing, and that's how that camera has its controls laid out. And how you want those controls to bring your ideas to that click. You've got to make the time you've got. It doesn't take hours every day. You'd be surprised. If you just did it a couple minutes every night for a month, that camera, you would know how to unlock the collar on the flash to take it off the camera. You would know that the collar can rotate, you know, the collar can come off, the foot can come off, you can replace it. You know where that focusing ring is. You know that that other ring you have programmed on there. For example, myself, the Z600 F4TC, the very last rotatable collar before you get to the big bell on the lens, it doesn't do a 360, it does this little click stop. I program that to turn on the DX crop, turn it on and off. It's that very last ding, ding. And when I first thought, hey, this would be a quick and easy way of doing it, I had to program the little brain I have to remember to do it. And how'd I do that? Put the thing in my lap and just practice. It's called muscle memory for a reason. And that's, this is all we're talking about, is taking some time with our best friend, getting to know them better, So when we want them to perform, they'll perform. When they give us advice, we know we can trust her or not. And once you get to this point, then you start, I bet you'll grab out that instruction book, which you should do every 6 months, because the better you learn it and then you read the instruction book, stuff the instruction book will make more sense to you. You'll put in the settings that make that camera sing for your photography, and then guess what? You go out shooting and you'll be more successful and your photography will grow. And it's just like learning to hold that pencil again. You can't write until you know how to use that instrument. Hard, but essential. You folks have a marvelous week. I hope the April Fool's jokes that befall you today bring a laugh to you and a smile and keep you going. Remember to go out and make every click your story.